Welcome to Crabby Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating victory since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Hi, Joss.
Hello, Kristen.
How are you?
I'm quite good. How are you?
Good. I'm really good. Thank you for dinner.
I made the most amazing dinner, y'all.
She did.
I was.
She did. She said, "Do you want salad?" I'm like, "Sure." Thinking like iceberg and a cold tomato.
Excuse me, no. I did make a shrimp cob salad with a warm shallot red wine vinaigrette.
It was amazing.
Delicious.
Made me love salads so much.
Yes, it was the best thing I've ever
made.
It's
one of those dinners. Salads are one of those dinners where it's so much better when someone else makes it for you.
Oh, so many things are like that.
Yeah.
Sandwiches are like that for me.
Yeah.
When someone makes me a sandwich, it could be like turkey, American cheese, and it's the best sandwich ever.
I have to say I make my favorite sandwich. And when someone else makes me a sandwich, it's disappointing. But salads, because it's so involved, the chopping, the slicing,
chopping,
the washing, you know.
That's right.
So anyway, well done, you.
I even, not stir-fried, I guess sautéed the shrimp in the bacon grease.
Oh, yeah.
So they had the whole
bacon.
That's
so good.
I'm telling you.
How many people are swooning over the delicious salad they had?
I did myself.
I'm so full. I ate so much salad.
I ate so much salad.
It was really good.
Yeah.
So, Joss, we have such an interesting letter today.
I like this
What is this? Like our 55th episode or something? We don't know.
It's something like that.
But a lot of episodes. For the first time, maybe the second time, we have a person who is saying she was the crappy friend.
That rarely happens.
It really does.
People don't admit to that. It takes a lot to be able to admit to that.
I mean, we had the woman in the bookstore who knocked over the display.
Love that one.
We love you, and we're still thinking about you. We still want to know how you're doing.
Yep.
And now we have, we've had a lot of letters about people who report their friends being crazy asses, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know what happened to my friend. She's crazy. She's so self-involved.
Yeah.
She's such a drama mama.
Yeah.
We're hearing from this person
right
now. And she wrote in response to an earlier episode where a friend was complaining about a drama mama in divorce land.
Yes, yes.
So here's our letter. Ladies, I went through a divorce situation at 52, and it was so excruciating. I'm sure, okay, I know I wore my friends out. And the truth is, I had a bit of a breakdown, mostly because I had too many negative situations land on my plate at the same time. My husband's not just infidelity with a coworker, but the lying, sneaking, stealing money that goes along with the cheating. The sheer indignity of having your immediate community of friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers watching it like a free show at the drive-in, popcorn included.
Wow.
The thing for me was that I was losing the life I created, stuck in a vacuum because my husband didn't want his superiors to get wind of the potential scandal. His firing would have been a financial disaster, and I was laid up with 3 knee surgeries. Couldn't have flown far. Frankly, I was very scared. That went on for almost 2 years before we split.
Wow.
Like the worst thing I could imagine had happened to me, a very anxiety-prone individual. So my brain sort of broke, and I clung like a drunken octopus to my closest friends and railed and raged against the world to my poor sisters. So yes, I needed a firm intervention, and they told me point blank they couldn't take it anymore. After a year or 3 of above and beyond the call duty of listening to my crazy, bitter raving, during which time I had to move out of my beautiful house, sell off a ton of stuff, put the rest in storage, it's still there, too, move out of state, send my son off to war, and had to deal with that fear all alone, without the only other person 200% invested in that child's life. I paid off joint debt, healed from my knee surgeries, struggled with concentration, and negotiated a fair separation agreement. So I needed a therapist. I needed to find my inner balance. I needed to not be so afraid. I needed sleep. I needed to be able to enjoy a book. Heck, I have never been so down and out ever. So if that makes me a drama mama, so be it.
Mm.
But I didn't feel like a drama mama. I was just lost, looking for the answer to an unanswerable question. And yes, everyone was telling me, including my very displeased children, that I dodged a bullet, that he wasn't worth the pain, and yeah, that's all true. But it was also the death of my dream. Mm. I never wanted a divorce. I put up with sometimes more than normal daily marital strife with that guy. We also dealt with a lot of hard situations with his work and his health. He really wasn't in a position to ditch someone who had his back for years for some sneaky office bimbette, but he did.
Wow.
I would fantasize about going back to that perfect day, the day before I found out about the cheating. Of all the things I could do differently if I got a do-over. Well, you know that won't ever happen. But still, you've got that tape going in your head and in your replay mode over and over. So a month or so before the end, I went to the Romance Writers of America conference in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that's another point. I looked fine. Still limping from surgery, but I appeared to be doing really okay. Yeah, but I was free-falling on the inside.
Mm.
Anyway, I go for a week, have a great time, meet new people, get lots of free books that I can't concentrate enough to read.
Mm.
Then I lost my wallet. I couldn't find it anywhere. I went nuts looking for it, but I had a flight to catch, so I went to the airport without it. Luckily, I had $20 on my debit card, but no ID. I called home, no answer. Anyway, security let me on the plane because I had the debit card, and I straggled into my house hours later and was kind of distraught. I called the hotel several times. They searched high and low. I fretted and cried and couldn't reach my ex or my kids or anyone who couldn't actually help me, and I was crazed. It was quite metaphorical in that I felt myself losing my identity as a wife and mother to where I had no identification, no license, no cash, none of my several credit cards or even my grocery store cards. I cried and then I prayed and I'm looking up to the ceiling asking God to help me find my wallet.
Wow.
And then he answered me. I asked and he really answered. So when I had gotten to the conference hotel the week before, I tucked my wallet in the ice bucket so I didn't have to leave it or carry it around all the time. And so I hadn't lost it, but I'd forgotten what I did. My concentration level was already heading down the hill by this point. Anyway, I called the hotel and asked them to check one more time in the ice bucket, and there it was. The hotel manager was ticked because this meant housekeeping never checked the bucket after checkout. I felt bad anyone would get in trouble because of my idiocy. They overnighted the wallet, and everything was intact, including the cash. This is just one farcical episode of excessively stressful situations I've had to deal with alone. I took several metaphoric and real falls as my balance was messed up after my surgery. Starting over was so freaking hard for me. It was hard to identify normal reactions with overreactions. What was real and what was fear laced with worry over not real things. Time does heal, or at least scab over stuff. Here's the stuff I struggled enduring with or listening to. How lousy my marriage was, according to my single, never been married, amateur therapist sister.
Mm-hmm.
People telling me I was lucky. People telling me to take revenge.
Mm-hmm.
People feeling sorry for me and avoiding me. People maybe enjoying my downfall. Yeah, that's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And people telling me how much they hated my ex. And worst, my kids being mad at me because I wasn't being strong enough. I mean, it was crazy confusing and shameful. So like 30 plus years just disappeared like it wasn't ever real or just wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people were cavalier about it. So how did I really overcome all this? A couple of simple things. Whenever I would obsessively start thinking about my ex and the whole betrayal, I kept a rubber band around my wrist, and I'd snap it hard whenever I thought about him or our past.
Mm.
Just like the dog collar.
Yeah.
Right? The shock collar.
Yeah, the shock collar. I love that.
And it worked for me. I made myself accomplish one big item on my to-do list every day. I really made an effort not to start to converse about me and my divorce or all the ugly in my head. This was really, really hard. My kid coming home from overseas finally made a huge difference. I realized I hadn't allowed myself to enjoy life much while he was in harm's way. I think Zafira, the earlier writer, needs maybe 4 specific counseling sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she didn't get the right kind of closure from her ex, and neither did I. It really is the height of frustration when you know you got snookered by a guy you loved. I think when people are sad, angry, and grieving, even for the loss of a half-broke relationship or being cheated on or one's family unit dissolution, just like a death, it's not fair just to tell people to move on or get over it. I think the friend needs to take the lead. When you are together and she starts in about her divorce, interrupt and tell her she only gets 5 minutes to talk about it, and then 4, 3, 2, etc. Help her break the loop repeating in her head. That will give her a heads up that she needs to be conscious of this now bad habit that no one wants to hear. She can also vent over on the chumplady.com blog.
Ooh, wow.
You know where we're going.
Yes, we are.
Chumplady.com. Give her a rubber band and show her how to use it. Accept her grief over no more anniversary trips, no more special trip to Australia they'd planned, or Ireland, or Hawaii, etc. Giving up the dream means losing many things. And an instant interrupt when she's so rude to doctors. It's good that she leaves the room. Oh, this was Zafira who made the gagging noises.
Yes, made the gagging noises, yeah, right.
Because her husband cheated with a doctor, and so
right.
She hated all doctors.
Right, and her friend was a pediatrician.
Right.
Who was the... That's right.
It is good if she leaves the room. Be glad she goes. Except that there's just something broken in her head and heart, and she needs to see a therapist or maybe even a personal coach who can steer her in the right direction. I'm extra sensitive to friends who are going through the fresh hell that is divorce. I realize, though, that if you haven't been through it, you won't ever fully get it. And I hope none of my friends will ever need to get it. And I have tried to apologize to anyone I have tortured by listening to me. Okay, that's my 2 cents. Love you, ladies. I really enjoyed your podcast.
Wow. That's
signed,
amazing.
Doing better.
You are.
And I just assigned that name to her because she didn't sign it, but wow.
Amazing.
That's so
amazing.
Wonderful to hear your self-awareness,
yeah,
your clear-headed take on the hell that you've been through.
Right.
And it is. It's really helpful to us,
mm-hmm,
and to everyone listening about this is what it's like to be in my shoes. It's not just a divorce. It's the end of your family as you knew it. It's the end of life as you knew it.
Yeah.
It's the end of the future as you envisioned it.
I think what really struck me, she said, what were the last 30 years a waste?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know.
Thinking that you just wasted the last 30 years of your life.
And of course you didn't, because
yeah,
you have your children,
yeah,
and you
right,
have your memories, and you have yourself, the person that you've become in
right,
this marriage, you know?
Right.
But I think that that was an absolutely beautiful and eloquent description of what it's like to be that person. And how maybe you recognize you're spinning out of control, but
yeah,
all these factors that are going off like buried mines,
yeah,
in your life.
Yeah.
Everywhere you step is dangerous, you know? One of my friends who recently got a divorce was talking about having to clean out the house,
yeah,
to put it on the market.
Right.
And how brutal that is.
I believe it.
You know, that's where their family spent their life, and she's doing it by herself.
Right.
Her husband lives somewhere else, and
it's decades of accumulated life.
Her children don't want to help because it's too sad and too
yeah,
hard, so there she is by herself going through decades of memories.
Yeah.
Happy memories, sad memories, disappointments, whatever, but their life, you know, it's like a funeral.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And just like a death, it doesn't get better right away.
No.
So I think I'm so glad you wrote in.
I'm so impressed with how healthy you sound.
Yeah.
You're so aware of who you were and who you are now.
And how it was for your friends
and
when
how
you were
was
melting
it for your
down.
What, amazing.
But
amazing.
Also, like, it's so wonderful to get a real glimpse into what it's like to melt down.
Yeah.
You talk about your concentration being impaired and you know, trying to put up a good front professionally and going to the conference and
right,
then losing things, you know, I mean, all
right,
the things that grief does to you
right,
that aren't obvious.
Right. And that no one will take seriously because you're not, no one died. You're
right,
getting a divorce.
And maybe your husband was a shit
and
you shouldn't be so
shit,
sad.
Right.
You know?
But grief is grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was brilliantly done. And I love the basic snapping of the elastic band.
What a physical way to kind of remind you to,
yeah,
like, stop thinking like that. Stop
right,
the loop. That's
and
really
it,
great.
And it, I mean, we have all been in that situation where you think, like, I've got to stop thinking about this person.
Right.
Whether it's a friendship or a lover or a death of someone,
mm-hmm.
Where you just do get stuck.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, but why? But if only, you know, but I wish. And therein lies despair.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And to avoid that, to snap that rubber band and think, ouch.
Yeah.
You know? I commend you for something so simple and yet so effective.
It's cognitive behavioral therapy, which a lot of people pay a lot of money for.
Right.
And she used a rubber band to help
right.
her do that. I think
right.
it's amazing. It's really
yeah.
amazing.
I also love the idea, too, of giving your friend time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as I've mentioned in other episodes, I've had a lot of friends go through divorce. And some get more time from me than others. Some ask for more time than others. You know, people very close to me, they can lean on me as much as they want.
Right.
But I appreciate, letter writer, your own knowledge of this is tiring for them to hear. This is doing nothing for me to reiterate.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, you got 5 minutes, sweetheart. Go
right.
ahead.
Right. I do think, though, that a lot of this sort of... the kind of personality that she has that made her so able to heal, others might not have that. It's
yeah.
a little harder, might take a little longer
mm-hmm.
for them. The rubber band might not work. But she was already, it sounds like she was already open to a process of getting
well,
better.
I mean, she did say it took years.
Yeah.
Right?
One or three.
Yeah. And,
but that sounds about right
yeah.
to me.
And one thing you have going for you, letter writer, is that you are a writer.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that you went to a romance writers conference,
right.
and that's a very big professional conference
yeah.
For writers of all genres, but especially romance. So you're thinking about how people deal with blows in
yes.
life and how they get better to a happier place. I
right.
mean, that is the genre of romance.
That is.
And so you do have that advantage.
Right.
So, yeah, we really commend you for your insight and also for your compassion towards your friends.
Yeah.
That it was hard for them, that they got tired of it, and that you still needed them.
Yeah.
You know? And yet you were able to adjust your expectations of how much they could give.
Right.
You know, as I said, like, sometimes you need more. Sometimes it's okay for a friend to say, like, oh, my God, honey, not today. I cannot hear about your divorce. Can we just talk about me
right.
and what happened to me? That's a very close friendship where you can
right.
say that.
Right, right.
And it's also a close friendship where you can say, like, I had to start cleaning my house today, and it was horrible. Can I come over?
Yeah. That's,
you know?
Yeah, I agree.
That's
I
fair.
Agree.
There are certain events that are going to loom up forever.
Yes.
You know, when your children get married and you have to see your
ex
and his bimbo
right.
or third wife or
right.
new baby or something
right.
like that, you know, there are going to be days where he really doesn't cross your mind and then days when you think, how could you have done this to me,
right.
you know, 20 years down the road. And I think a very close and compassionate friend will understand. This was
of
a
course.
Terrible day, and you get to talk about it again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but thanks for the insight, because
yeah.
much of that stuff you articulated so beautifully.
Yeah, you did. And we do.
3 years wasted.
We do hear about the, you know, we've heard several times, we've had several letters about friends trying to walk their friends through a divorce, and sort of that compassion fatigue that they get.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really heard
from the other side.
From the other side, and
which
how
is great.
How tumultuous and painful
yeah.
it is. So,
yeah.
really, thank you so much
Indeed.
For that letter.
I am, in fact, looking on chumplady.com.
Ooh.
Leave a cheater, gain a life. Oh, I did already.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I'm glad this was a resource for you.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's an important point that you make, too, is that if you are wearing your friends out, that wonderful therapist. We're big proponents
yes.
in mental health professionals.
Yes, yes.
And a compassionate group, like
yes.
a group of other women or
right.
or people
group.
Whose partners have left them.
Absolutely.
The internet makes it so easy.
Yeah.
And a lot of times churches have groups for separated people.
Absolutely.
Or grief groups
yeah.
and the like. So it's great that you recognized that, you know, people have finite resources and that you need sometimes to to find something else to lean on.
Yeah.
So well done.
Well done,
we
indeed.
We wish you the absolute best.
Thanks so much for writing in.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. And write back to us and let us know how you're doing.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends
forever.